Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
What are we to make of the current state of the Catholic Church and its response to the many matters raised by the Royal Commission into institutional responses on child sexual abuse? The Archbishop of Adelaide, Philip Wilson, was found guilty, not of a sex offence, but for covering up his knowledge of assaults committed in Newcastle by a priest who was a notorious child sex offender. Now, of course, the Catholic Church isn't just one thing, one organisation, if you like, but it's a series of parishes, communities, religious communities, and various levels of leadership within the Catholic Church itself. Philip Wilson is part of the bishop class, if you like, the group of bishops around Australia who are in leadership of one particular part of the church. He refuses to resign as a bishop. Now, only the Pope has the power to sack him, but he spent the last 6 years taking the diocese that he now heads, the Adelaide Archdiocese, through the painful process of having their leader under a cloud. You might ask, can he do his job as an archbishop while still fighting this fight through the courts? And in fact, even after he was sentenced this week, he's given notice that he's going to appeal. So it'll still go through the courts for some time to come. Because of the technical aspects of the law that led to his conviction, it may end up in the High Court. It may end up indeed setting a precedent on this area of the law. Nevertheless, should he have resigned as an archbishop with all of this happening? Many people have asked the question, do the Catholic leaders, the bishops at that level, do they actually get the seriousness of the shocking history of sexual abuse by Catholic priests that was revealed at the Royal Commission? Frank Brennan is a Jesuit priest. He's also a lawyer. He's the head of the Catholic Social Services Australia. And he's one, and almost a lone voice, actually, saying that Philip Wilson should resign. I spoke with Frank Brennan about the many complex issues involved in this important case.
Well, I suppose I'd separate out a few things, Stephen.
Yeah.
One is that the people who are very upset, of course, that he hasn't resigned, and I can readily understand that, and I think that it's a very serious mistake that he's not resigned.
Mm.
I was pleased that later in the week some of our bishops finally indicated that they thought he should resign. I had forewarned him on the Monday that I would be coming out publicly to say that he should resign on the Tuesday, because I could see there was absolutely no option. The second issue is in terms of the actual sentence that he was given. I can understand the emotions that are running high there in the Newcastle court, particularly with victims and their families. But I do think that Philip Wilson has been one of the good guys over the last couple of decades. And trying to get inside his head, I suppose I've thought to myself, well, there he was, 25 years of age in Newcastle in 1976, hearing complaints. He then got a move where he went to Wollongong and became a bishop.
Yeah.
And then he got a move to Adelaide and became an archbishop. I think it's probably a bit like the mindset of people in the corporate sector who would see that they got a move to another company or something like that. I think he got to Wollongong and thought, well, now I'm a bishop and I'm not just a junior priest. I've got some power to do something. I'm committed to cleaning things up because what I heard and saw in Newcastle, I know there are problems. And then by the time he got to Adelaide, he said, that's what I want to do. So I've got some sympathy with him there. And in terms of the penalty, I say, well, I think it's probably fairly appropriate.
Yeah,
in terms of the actual conviction,
yes.
I know there are lots of legal complexities in this case, and those legal complexities will not be resolved just by a magistrate.
No.
They'll require higher court processes, and that being the case, it was all the more imperative that he resign.
Yes. Well, that's right. And it's worth just going into a couple of those for a moment. I do commend to people the article you wrote for Eureka Street a few days ago, and it does explain very carefully what is and what isn't going on legally. So the first thing to point out is that Philip Wilson wasn't convicted of child sexual assault, and it was never even suggested. So that's the first thing. The second was what he was charged with was not related to the child sexual assault investigations per se, but another part of the criminal code that basically says if you know something and don't tell people, if you know about a criminal event and don't tell people, then that itself is a criminal offence. Now, as you've pointed out in your article, even the Law Reform Commission thinks that that's a questionable provision. It's going to be fixed up by the New South Wales government in the near future, which I think is a good thing. But that goes to the penalty. The maximum penalty is 2 years, and so, you know, concerns...
It does. Well, in terms of the penalty, Stephen, one of the things to take into account is what is the effect or the adverse effect on others by him having committed the offence he did. Now, it's important to remember, what he was actually convicted of in terms of law was not failing to report something back in 1976 when Peter Craig was still a child.
Yes.
What he was actually convicted of was failing to report what he knew about the assaults on Peter Craig, but failing to report it to the police in 2004. Now, guess what? By 2004, Fletcher was already with the police. Fletcher was already in the courts, and Fletcher was already convicted and sentenced to 10 years imprisonment, and he died in prison 2 years later. So it's not as if the reporting or non-reporting by Wilson between 2004 and 2006 would have changed any outcome for Fletcher, and it's not as if it would have made any child safer or less safe between 2004 and 2006.
But can we actually say that, though? Or are you saying that's because the perpetrator was already known to
police?
I'm
saying because the perpetrator was already known, he was already in custody, and he actually died in custody.
Well, then there's a broader principle, and this, I think, is an important one. And to this extent, yes, Philip Wilson has become something of a symbol for the Catholic Church itself.
Yes.
I'd have to say that I'm with you. I think he should have resigned, and I think he should have cooperated with the police.
Well, he should have cooperated with the police back in, I think it was the year 2012, 2014 or so.
Right.
When that strike force Lantle was getting running in Newcastle, and Wilson basically said, I will not cooperate with your investigation.
That was, and in then, your view, was that a mistake? Because it certainly was in my view.
I think it was a serious moral mistake, if I may say, in that I think by that time, particularly he knew the issues to do with child abuse and institutional problems, and he should have been indicating that he would do everything that he could to cooperate with police while being true to what were his legal obligations to everybody. Now, I don't think he did that, and I think that made people suspicious. And then by the time you had Margaret Kaneen's inquiry, and this has always been the persuasive thing for me, that Margaret Kaneen did an inquiry and she produced a four-volume report. In three public volumes, she dealt with other Catholic clerics up there at Newcastle, including Bishop Malone and people like Father Lucas, and said, well, look, there were things they knew, but you couldn't prosecute them under this Section 316 because they would have had some reasonable excuse. She said, but it's altogether different with one other person, a senior church official who at that stage was unnamed, who was dealt with in the confidential Volume 4. Now, we now know that was Philip Wilson. Yeah. So since then, we've known that a competent senior prosecutor knows the laws of evidence in New South Wales, thought that Malone and all of the other clergy were in the clear under Section 316 and that Wilson was not. Now, given that, and given that we've now had this conviction, it seemed to me that particularly as he had given evidence to the court and he told the people of Adelaide that he was starting to suffer the early onset of Alzheimer's, then the prospect that he would ever be able to return as Archbishop of Adelaide was impossible.
Yes.
Because regardless of the legal gobbledygook about Section 316 and what happened in 2004 compared with 1976, there's no getting away from the fact that a magistrate in good faith listened to Mr. Craig, the complainant, and found him to be very credible, very honest, not to have an agenda, and to be putting out what were his recollection of events, over against Archbishop Wilson, who he found to be incredible. Now, with a finding like that on an issue like this, and with the early onset of Alzheimer's, and where you're going to be running appeals probably for the next year or two, probably all the way to the High Court, How in God's name could you ever think you could come back as Archbishop?
Yes, it defies logic, apart from anything else. Our guest is Frank Brennan, Jesuit priest, eminent Australian jurist, and the issue is Philip Wilson and his sentencing during the week. He has announced that he won't resign, that he wants to go to appeal. It's not as if, though, the resignation of Archbishop has any bearing on any legal appeal, which goes to this issue of reasonable excuse. It was put to me during the week. I was on the drum with Joanne McCarthy, who broke these stories in the Newcastle Herald earlier in the week, and she was saying that the bishops, the Catholic bishops, are defying credibility and losing touch with the laity because of their refusal to really take actions commensurate with having learned any lessons from the Royal Commission process. Now, do you think that's fair criticism?
I think that might be overstating it slightly, if I may say, with respect to Joanne, but I'd make a couple of points. One is, I mean, clearly it took some days. In fact, it wasn't until the Prime Minister and the State Premier came out saying that Archbishop Wilson should resign. Mm. It took that before we heard any public word from any bishop about whether or not they thought Wilson should resign. So that's an indication that in terms of the governance of the show, we're still in a regime in the Catholic Church where bishops see themselves as sort of independent feudal princes, where they can't call each other to account, but they see themselves just subject to the Pope. Now, that has problems, as the Royal Commission highlighted, in terms of governance when it comes, for example, to the care of children and when it comes to the responsible use of government funds, which are received in large measure by churches nowadays for all sorts of purposes, education, health, social welfare, etc. The second thing to say is that in the wake of the Royal Commission, the Catholic Church, and I give full credit to the bishops and the heads of religious orders for this, they set up a competent Truth, Justice, Healing Council, which included some very competent lay people, not all of whom were of one mind. In fact, we know there were divisions within the Truth, Justice, Healing Council, but there was a variety of competencies and good independence within that group. Now, they have provided very detailed reports to the bishops and the heads of the religious orders, and even now, months later, these reports have not been released.
Yes.
Now, I think it's essential that they be released.
Yes.
So that Catholics like myself, who weren't able to sit around every day of the week for 5 years analysing what the Royal Commission was saying, well, here was a competent commission set up by the bishops to assist with that task. They've reported. It's now essential that their report be made available generally to the church faithful and generally to the Australian public, so we can demonstrate as the church, as we regroup after what we've been through, we can demonstrate that indeed we do have transparency, we do have accountability, and we do put children first.
Can you say with assurance that that is actually the case?
I can say with assurance that what I know of Catholic schools around the country,
yeah,
I gather that they are doing very well in terms of child protection. I know, being the CEO of Catholic Social Services Australia, that our social services organisations are quite outstanding. And in fact, the Royal Commission itself was pleasantly surprised when some of the CEOs of our Catholic cares and centre cares appeared before them, and they found that they had people of great competence. Mm. For example, Robin Miller, who runs the MacKillop Family Services, who's on our National Board of Catholic Social Services, she did work for the Royal Commission because she is someone of the highest professional competence,
yes,
in terms of child protection. And that's what we pride ourselves,
yes,
on.
Wow. Well, what's at stake? There's so much at stake. What's at stake is the reputation of the Catholic Church. What's at stake, though, it seems to me, is far greater than any of that. It's the propensity of people to simply turn their back on any teaching of the Church, including the most basic and fundamental teaching of calling people to Christ. And
sure,
judged against that, are we right to be angry that this apparent head-in-the-sand response of the bishops is actually standing in the way of the work of the gospel?
Well, this is what's troubled me most about Archbishop Wilson's response in the last week.
Yes.
As I say, in all good faith, and I've tried to plead with him privately as well as publicly, look, what you're doing, it isn't helping the victims or their families. It isn't helping the Archdiocese of Adelaide. It isn't helping the Church of Australia. It isn't helping the nation recover and heal after the Royal Commission. So basically, what is this about? Failing to resign. And it should have been done last week. And so if we're going to be true to the gospel, we've got to get beyond the idea that we simply stand on our own dignity and that we look only at the institution. What we've got to do, I mean, in the Catholic terms, a bit like Pope Francis, I say, you know, he's on about truth, justice, mercy, love, and joy. Now, they're the message of the gospel. What we've got to get back to doing is finding a way in which the church can be a home community where people can come and celebrate those gifts, where they can worship together, and where they can then mission themselves again to the world.
Well, I gather Philip Wilson's response to you wasn't positive, and then there's a question of this. They say all roads lead to Rome. Is it within, I think it's within the power of the Pope to step in, but should he now?
Well, of course it's within the power of the Pope. The Pope is sovereign in terms of canon law or whatever. But as I say, and it's no disrespect to the Pope or even any disrespect to those who agitate for him to do something. Stephen, we Australians, we have to get used to the idea that if you're in Rome, Australia is not the centre of the universe.
Yes.
And we are there at the bottom end of the globe.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other issues on the plate there in Rome. And that's why I think it's essential that there be much more accountability within our bishops themselves. And so I think if anything like this happens again, why should it fall to someone like Frank Brennan to say, of course, he must resign? I think it's the job of the bishops themselves to hold themselves publicly accountable.
Well, one would hope so. Final question, though, Frank Brennan. How much do you think the serious charges being faced by Cardinal Pell, in fact, the whole issue of the pursuit of Cardinal Pell, how much do you think that has actually clouded the ability of people to see outside of what might be called a bit of a siege mentality?
Look, I think there's a lot of deep psychological factors at play in this. As I say, in relation to Cardinal Pell, the one thing's certain, those who are convinced of the guilt of Cardinal Pell don't know what they're talking about. Those convinced of the innocence of Cardinal Pell don't know what they're talking about, because none of us knows who the complainants are. None of us knows what the evidence is, and we have to retain sufficient trust in our justice system that there can be a due process and that there can be a proper outcome. And then we might be in a position to move forward.
Frank Brennan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, Frank Brennan, he's an eminent jurist. He's actually he's a lawyer, and he was on the Ruddock Religious Freedom Inquiry. He's also the head of Catholic Social Services, and, of course, he's a Jesuit priest. He was one of the few people last week, well, one of the few people in the Catholic Church in any case, who was saying Archbishop Philip Wilson should have resigned and certainly now should certainly resign rather than digging in, which is what he has done in the last few days, saying, well, I'm going to appeal my sentence. Even given there is no link between his ability to argue his case in an appeal, you know, he's not prejudicing his own case by resigning as an archbishop. He's certainly not prejudicing his case from a legal point of view. You could say, how can he possibly do his job as an archbishop when he's got to concentrate on going through the legal process? But more than that, and I think this is the point, this is certainly the opinion that I've come to during the week, that as a symbol that the Catholic Church, or at least part of the Catholic Church, has not understood the seriousness of what happened at the Royal Commission. He's a symbol of that while he refuses to hand in his archbishopric. Other parts of the Catholic Church certainly have. The bishops, though, seem to be sticking their heads in the sand. And you can imagine the frustration of somebody like Frank Brennan running Catholic Social Services. He said when they went up and when many of the orders went up and when the other social services, when the Catholic schools went up to the Royal Commission, they were able to demonstrate the things that they have put in place to make sure that children can now be said to be safe in the Catholic Church. And that's how it ought to be. We ought to be able to hold that church accountable. And people need to have a degree of confidence that the church has responded, as other churches have responded, other organisations too, by the way, to what came out of the Royal Commission. But while the bishops seem to take a different view, the whole Catholic Church gets labelled.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.